You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We've been talking about exclusivity today in the economy, tech, healthcare. Now, our wallets. A lot of us carry around little membership cards of sorts every day. Credit cards, access to money, loans, all sorts of things. We wanted to know more about how exclusive credit actually is and how to get a score that gets you the best offers. Michelle Singletary writes the nationally syndicated personal finance column, The Color of Money. It appears in the Washington Post. Welcome back, Michelle.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay, so I open my mail sometimes and I get, you know, envelopes saying, exclusive offer. They're dangling more credit cards in front of me. I'm curious, how exclusive are they? I mean, how many of us actually have really good credit?
More than most people think. About 23% have really good credit. Basing it on the FICO score, which is the score that most lenders still use, it's on a scale of 300 to 850. 850 being a perfect score, 300 meaning, ooh, you've got a lot of issues going on. When you get those exclusive offers, essentially they've looked at your credit files and said, you know what, this person is probably going to be a good risk. Doesn't mean that you automatically get credit, but they have looked at your file to think that, okay, I think that this person is going to be okay for us to have new business with.
When we think about kind of where we fall on this spectrum, what are the best ways to establish credit and improve it? I mean, this was something I knew nothing about when I was young.
You know, people think that there's so many tricks to getting a good credit score, but the number one way to get a good credit score is to pay your bills on time. When you look at the scale, the factors that, say, FICO look at, two main factors that take up the bulk of what they look at, paying your bills on time and how much credit you have outstanding. So the two things, pay your bills down and pay them off on time. And then you'll be in that exclusive club of people who have credit scores of, say, 700 or more.
Can you do that without a credit card? You know, could you do it if you're young, say, with student loans?
Absolutely. The factors that go into a credit score include revolving accounts like credit card accounts. It includes student loans, if you've got a mortgage, a car payment. So there are other things that you can do to get a good credit score.
One of the things that surprised me so much learning about this stuff was that the credit score was actually invented to make credit less exclusive, more democratized. Can you explain the history a little bit?
Back in the day, I'm not that old, so, but back in the day, a lender would call your merchant and say, hey, how is Michelle? Does she pay her bills on time? She's got a layaway plan. Does she miss any payments? It was much more subjective than it is now. And so once they invented the credit score, the two gentlemen out in California, then they sort of put it more, you know, numerical, mathematical. They're looking at just the numbers, not necessarily who you are as a person.
But credit can still be exclusionary and certainly targets certain populations.
That's correct. I mean, there's some people who criticize it because, for example, lots of minorities may not own a home, which is a huge part of what goes into that type of mortgage goes in your credit score. So if you are a renter, your on-time rental payments aren't considered in the traditional FICO score. And so that could eliminate some good history for a great number of people, oftentimes minorities.
How much change are we seeing? I mean, some states have said bad credit can't bar you from getting a job. Is that sort of change going to continue, do you think?
You know, I think it's not. I think we have used the credit score, and there are different types of credit scores. You can get an insurance credit score. You can get a credit score based on how you handle credit. And more employers are pulling it to see what your credit history is, what your credit score is. So we're not using it less, but I think that we are recognizing that, for example, let's put in rental payments. The newest FICO score eliminates medical debt because that they've shown that even though you might be in medical debt, before that, you paid your debts on time. So that it's evolving to look at these sort of nuances, and that's a good thing, so that that exclusive club can open up to more people.
What do you do if your credit's not so hot? A lot of people are in that state and want to rehab it a little bit.
If you've gotten off to a bad track that you're, you know, paying your bills late, maybe you lost your job, you couldn't pay some things, but now you've got a job, you're getting back to the way you were before. Again, number one way, pay your bills on time. And here's what people don't realize. It's the new incidents that hurt your credit score the worst. So let's say you had a late bill 5 years ago, as opposed to a late bill just 30 days ago or 90 days ago. That 90-day or 30-day late payment is going to impact your credit score more than that one 5 years ago. And then if you don't have credit cards, you can get what's called a secure credit card. And so you put money into a bank account and your credit line becomes that money that's in the bank, say $250. You use that for, you know, several months, and then you'll start to get regular credit card offers. You get that card, charge a couple things on it, pay it off on time in full, put it in the drawer. You begin to rehabilitate your credit. So I really want to encourage people, don't pay people to rehabilitate credit. You can do these things yourself. If you go to MyFICO online, there's lots of tips. And then FTC, Federal Trade Commission, has a great site with a lot of good tips to show you, to walk you through how to repair your credit yourself.
When we talk about exclusivity, which we've been doing this week, you know, there are these whole modes of credit, certain cards, black cards, metal cards. The whole business model is built about being exclusive. Are those worth it? I mean, some of those come with really hefty fees.
I think for the average consumer, they are not. If you're doing a lot of credit card business, you know, thousands per month, it can be worth it because you get some perks that might be, you know, worth it to you. If you're a frequent user of a certain airline or service and you want to get that reward card because you want to build up some points to get, you know, a trip or something like that, okay. But, you know, this whole idea of a black platinum card or whatever, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's only for the people that are way out there, and most of us are not there. I would just caution people to always remember, however, even with these special exclusive reward cards, that studies show when you use plastic, debit or credit, you tend to spend more than if you use cash. So you're saying, oh, I'm racking all of those points, but you're also racking up a lot of spending to get those points. And it may be spending that you wouldn't normally do had you not had a reward card.
Exclusivity, I guess, is just a way to kind of bring you in.
That's exactly right. It's a game. Most of us don't win at it. Am I saying don't use credit? No. But don't be so proud of being in this exclusive reward card club and end up spending more than you intend to.
Michelle Singletary is a personal finance columnist and writes the nationally syndicated column, The Color of Money. As always, thank you, Michelle.
You're so welcome.